Okay, well, I don't know where this intro is going to be starting because we talked about chocolate, and I'm not sure what part Steph is going to start this at, so we're just going to say hi.
You were eating all Brendan's chocolate.
Don't say it too loud. He came home.
Where did he go?
He's gone. He can't hear now.
We ate your chocolate.
Went out to the
shop. I kind of was thinking about getting another one.
I know. They're like calling our name. You're Sorry. Pregnant. You have an excuse.
Exactly.
I interrupted you.
Anyways, I'm Nadine.
I'm Steph.
I'm Stevie.
And we are the Horse Poor Podcast.
We're feeling a little silly today, but guess what?
Sugar high.
Watermelon sugar high.
You should see Nadine. She just looks
like a rock star.
Rocking tonight.
Okay. You know what I thought about when we're doing our podcast? Sparkly arms. Steph H got this blingy ass pair of boots from Boss Babes Thread secondhand.
They're really nice.
And they're freaking sparkly. And I'm wearing the sparkly ass shirt. So
where's your like sparkly bodysuit? You haven't worn that in a while.
Anyways, okay, well, I'm gonna barrel race in those sparkly boots with the sparkly shirt that I'm wearing right now.
No, the sparkly bodysuit.
Yeah, the sparkly bodysuit.
Please, Nadine, can you actually do that one day?
Okay, you know what? We talked about Halloween barrel races. Next year, I'll dress up as Shania Twain, and I will wear that sparkly bodysuit barrel racing.
Yeah.
That might be cold, though.
I don't care. I'll have my fur jacket on.
And it doesn't matter.
I will be Shania Twain.
No, I was thinking, like, go to the Big Bang and run in that or something like that.
Oh, someone's going to have to pay me.
Okay, well, anyone, give us a donation and Nadine will run at the
I'll
Big
do
Bang
it.
In
I'll
a sparkly bodysuit.
I will do it.
So the like whole Pod Squad and Ride Tribe is just giving us so much to be excited about lately.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start with the first thing because this is going to lead into the second thing.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So I graduated
Woo!
From hair school at the top of my class. So pumped. Started I'm like holding my mic like I'm a freaking rock star.
Singing. You are. You look the part today. You are a rock star.
So I broke out my like leather dress for this event.
Oh yeah,
right?
That brown leather piece.
My brown leather piece of beef jerky looking dress.
Your big chief
my
night out.
Big chief night out. Oh, okay. So I get all dressed up and go to my 3-person grad. Anyways, so I'm looking fly AF wearing my big chief leather dress. We have takeout chicken burgers. So like I had to look great for that, right? And so Cole texts me halfway through my date and he's like, I'm on my way to pick you up. And I'm just like, for what? And he's like, I'm taking you on a date. I was like, I've never gotten this text before. Like, I'm gonna pick you up. Make sure you're ready. And I'm like, I was born ready.
So this was through your day or halfway through grad? Or was
halfway
he
through
grad?
Halfway no, through grad. He wasn't allowed at grad.
Just,
because
okay.
Yeah. No boys.
COVID.
So yeah, he like takes me out and his brother comes out and I was like, okay, I guess this is a double date. And he puts a blindfold on me and he's just like, hey, like get in the back seat. And I was just like, I listen to too many crime podcasts. I know we've been together coming on 6 years now, but I don't know if I can trust you with me blindfolded. And so I get in the vehicle and keep in mind, like my friends like kind of were all busy today and like Shelby went to Edmonton and like whatever. I didn't care. And I was just like, what's going on? And like this kid drove me around for 40 minutes blindfolded. And I get car sick and I'm just like, hey, like I'm actually going to puke if you don't take me where we're going. And I had no clue. And so I was like nervous, sweating. My eyelashes were coming off. Like I was sweating so much.
You,
like,
you probably just thought he was going to propose or something.
Okay, man. I was like, this is it. I'm getting married. I'm going to be a young. My hashtag at my wedding is going to be forever young. Like that song. Like I had my wedding. I'm walking down to like Miranda Lambert song. And our first dance song is like going to be Alan Jackson, Red on a Rose. Like this is it, right? Like I'm getting married. And the vehicle stops and he's like, Kate, like time to get out. He like held my hand and like walked into like the shop and then like it's super quiet and then my blindfold comes off and all my friends are standing there and they're all like, a surprise. I was just like, no way. I'm not getting married. Just kidding.
This sucks.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it was so awesome. It was so cute with like little cakes and puppies.
Shelby gets the credit for that one.
It was like the best thing ever. Like you guys are so sweet.
Cry. Yeah,
did cry.
You chirped me, but I think that
I'm as much of a crier as you are.
Yeah, you were definitely like crying then.
Yeah.
And then you were crying another time. And then you were crying, like, I'm pretty sure you were almost crying today about the barrel racing story too.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure you were like on the verge.
Maybe.
Just laugh
and
at
so
you
now,
instead.
So you're graduated and we had a real good time. You like fell asleep cuddling a puppy by like midnight.
Yeah, it was great. But yeah, so, and actually Shelby was like, we were going to play like, I think I want to marry you, like that song when I walked in. It's like, could you? Like, that would have been so funny.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Because like, because when you were on the way there, Jose or somebody said, they're like, you guys, Nadine's totally going to think Cole's proposing to her. Like, we like knew that you were going to be thinking.
Yeah, like literally. But anyways, so after that happened, the twins' birthday was the next day. We tore that basketball court up that you had in your shop. We had so much fun. And the next day, we were doing a podcast with our guest on right now. And so if you notice, like, I love talking. I've been talking this whole damn intro. Stevie's just nodding her head. Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Girl, you talk so much. If you notice through the halfway.
I'm loving it. Go.
If you notice through the halfway of our last episode, I stopped talking. There was no words coming out of my big fat mouth. I was sitting there crying, you guys. Did I stub my toe?
Every week somebody cries on the podcast.
There's going to be a Ride Tribe wedding. Megan and Bond got engaged.
Congratulations.
Dear.
But yeah, so like Megan sent us this pic of like her and Bond. She had a ring on her hand and I just like immediately started bawling. Mm-hmm.
We're like, what is going on with Nadine?
Yeah.
It's like had like this big blank look on your face. You got to look at your phone and I was scared there for a second like, oh no, what happened? And then it was just like,
Yeah. We were so excited and we're so excited for Megan and oh my God, it's going to be the funnest wedding.
I'm excited that her last name now is also going to get butchered in.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
I can't wait for her stagette.
Oh. Yes, the parties that are to follow.
We are thinking big for her stagette. So we're hoping the world opens up so we could go and Ride Tribe can take the world by storm if we're going to have to write Trudeau a letter and be like, hey, listen, like, do you know who Ride Tribe is?
We got to go to the NFR.
We got to go to the NFR. That's what we want to do. But yeah, no, like we're so excited for her and Bond. They make such a beautiful couple. And well, like he's like, it had to happen. Like, you know, like you guys are sister wives now officially.
Sister wives. Yeah.
But no, I like Megan is going to be like the hottest bride.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and her day is going to be so fun. I already claim sleeping in the lunchbox at her house.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think I'm going to cry. Me and you are probably going to cry the whole day.
I'm like in the real life situations. I think I'll be okay.
You think so? Yeah, I was not okay at Shelby's wedding.
I'll probably be a couple drinks deep, so I'll be good.
You're like, I'll be fine. Very excited for Megan and Bond.
And so now you're graduated and you started working at probably like one of the biggest salons in Peace River. Mm-hmm. So how's that going?
Yeah, so good. I love it. My first haircut was a mullet, so that was great. I learned a lot from the mullet. Yeah, all sorts of mullets. I am experienced. So if you need a mullet, I'm your girl. Look me up at Dally Beauty Co. and I'll rock it. Yeah. So anyways, I've just been busy like doing that, but I feel like I've been talking so much. So you guys can like totally take the reins on the rest of this. And I'm just going to sit here in silence. Okay. Bye.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay,
like,
Stevie. So I guess we're switching it over to you. What have you been up to lately? What is new? You took your horses home from the arena because it's been so cold.
It's been so bloody cold. Yeah. But I'm bringing them back on Monday so I can keep riding them for a bit again. Just Joe and Dee because Fane is still waiting for his saddle. But yeah, so I am having a baby in May.
Are you? So where are your horses going for training?
Yeah, so I'm in May. Yeah, starting in May. Okay, so Dee will be going to Riley McKenzie for a month or so.
Yeah.
Kind of until I can start riding again, hopefully the beginning of June.
Yes.
And then Fame will be going for 2 months, May and June, just because I'm like, I don't need to be futurity-ing him this year. He can have a couple months.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about so many horses right after a baby.
That'll be so nice.
Yeah.
That will
so,
be such a good head start.
Yeah. So he's going to Christine.
Drizzler? So
yes. Ooh. Yes. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for both of them. I'm just like, I'm just going to be on the phone all of me. Asking them, like, how's it going? How's it going? Yeah, and then after I'm like,
I think you're gonna be quite busy on the farm.
I might be.
You might forget that you have other horses.
You're gonna be on the phone that much.
Yeah,
I might be busy, but I'll still be wondering how they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing awesome.
Mm-hmm. They
I
are.
I know it.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited. I'm
fingers crossed, excited. Like, especially for D, that there's some jackpots opened up mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, she's hoping to. That by then there will be more jackpots. So
yeah.
She can start, her. Yeah, hauling her because I don't know when are we going to have jackpots up here again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even it just like to seems, go to some exhibitions, yeah. right?
Yeah.
Just like get out there and get exposed a little. And
yeah.
Yeah, we were going to go to.
Because we hoped to do that this winter and then just got locked down all winter again.
Plans.
I'm actually glad we went down and did that like last winter trip to Claire's home there.
Yeah, because I know.
Then it kind of shut down since then. So
yeah, it's true.
I'm glad
yeah.
we like went hard right till the bitter end of the season, like mm-hmm. literally minus 20 sleeping in the trailer with yeah. the computers. Yes, yeah. I'm glad we did that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah me and Landon were talking about plans and one of my ideas had me still down in Sundry till like 6 days before my due date. So I was like, maybe I should not go along with that plan.
No, probably not. You have enough
2 weeks,
friends.
I think is okay, but a week, yeah. I better be back home.
What's your due date again? I think I've asked a million times, but I
May 17th.
The 17th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right smack dab in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're finishing this intro on some birthing. So mm-hmm. now we're going to get into horse birthing. Actually, when this was released, Valentine's Day was yesterday. So we hope that everyone had a day of love and happiness. And hopefully it was a day not full of disappointments for you guys. And it was a day of love because you know some guys do forget about Valentine's Day, let's be serious.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
I bought Cole a really nice Valentine's Day present.
I would imagine.
What is it?
I bought him a saddle pad.
Oh nice.
Damn.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, you do good.
So yeah, we hope you guys had a fun Valentine's Day and I hope you have a whole lot more fun listening to this podcast episode.
And we know you are going to have fun listening to this episode because we talk about breaking some phenomenal arena records here in Alberta, running 17 zeros in Buckeye, Arizona, running 13 nines 3 times in a row at the Fort Worth Stockyards. Helen's also been our Alberta Barrel Racing Association finals champion in 2017 and the reserve champion again in 2019. It was also very electric to watch her just this past fall at the 2020 CBHI, where her and Allie busted out another 16.978. And just so many other amazing accomplishments that Helen has had with Allie, her great horse, Raise the Gold Bar, and many other horses that she's brought up along the way that now form the foundation of their breeding program at Shamrock Performance Horses. Please welcome Helen Nawasad.
Oh, just seeing how you guys are all doing tonight. Is it freezing up there or what?
It's warming up. I think it's only minus cold. 30 today.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's nice and warm today. T-shirt weather. I got
yeah,
in.
It's not.
We got into Steph's husband's Valentine's Day chocolates. So.
Oh, perfect.
It's great.
Right on. Just stuffing
I
her face.
I had it on speakerphone just to remind somebody that that's coming.
Oh, put it on speakerphone and Nadine will do it again.
I'll redo it. Put me on speaker. Do you have any plans for Valentine's Day?
She's just wondering if we have any plans for Valentine's Day. Oh, he does, he says.
Oh,
this is going to be one of our first Valentine's Days together. We don't get to spend a lot of Valentine's Days together.
Oh, aww, nice. So.
How come?
This will be nice. Well, like the start of our relationship, Tyler was working a lot up north and stuff, so he was always gone in these months, you know, being oil field.
Yeah.
And then the past few years, I've been south.
So oh, yeah.
I'm in, like, Arizona and Texas, and he's up here.
Yeah.
Nice. So this has to be a super special Valentine's Day.
Yeah. We'll have to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about Arizona and Texas? So where do you normally go?
We didn't get to go this year. Kind of had, you know, intentions of going, especially with Allie running as good as she was. I wanted to go and take another hit at that American qualifier and stuff, try to get qualified for that. But with the COVID going on the way it is, I was, and how chaotic it was down there, it's like, I think I'll just stay home this year. I was there last year, and the year before we kind of were back and forth a little bit, and then the year before was Arizona. So
cool.
That's the amount of time that we've spent down there. So we've definitely enjoyed that.
Yeah. How do your horses take it when you go down there and they really change atmospheres?
Yeah, well, I thought Arizona wasn't as good as Texas.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't like about Arizona was, like, all their pens that they're in is, like, hard sand, yeah. Right? Like, hard ground, especially for, like, a horse like Allie. She rubbed off, like, on her hip bones. Because just laying down on that ground and getting up from it, just rubbing on that hard ground. So it's like, and you can't really give them soft ground, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Texas, you're dealing with grass. So it's way nicer, and when you're just in a big sandbox in Arizona, everything's always dusty and dirty, and
yeah, and it's like a Texas really fine,
like, being it.
Like really, oh yeah, yeah, like you can, like, you know, like at the barn, yeah, at the barn, we are like taking blowers and blowing off the horses because, like, if you put your saddle pad on that, like, it wouldn't feel comfortable at all.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I did a little bit in California last year too. And so that was a little bit of a change of scenery. Everything's all orchards, right?
Oh, so it's so beautiful.
It's different. It's not like it's beautiful, but it's in the same breath. It's just like our crop fields, all of their trees, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was pretty decent there, but I mean, they seem to get lots of rain too. Texas, you know, you get those rain days that be way colder, whereas in California, it's not as cold. California was pretty mild weather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was pretty neat. We got to ride in the ocean.
Oh, wow. That'd be so fun.
Yeah, at Pismo Beach. It was about a 2-hour drive to get there from Bakersfield. And the most stunning experience to do that with your horses.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, boggling. When you go into the water, like, you can't tell which way the water is going. And then because it pulls back, you feel like you're not very deep, but then when that wave comes in, you realize how far you are from the shore, and you're like, holy shit, you want to get back, and oh, it was crazy.
Hi ho, silver, take me back home.
Yeah.
That is really cool. But we're going to bring us back to Canada right now, and we want to know a little bit more about Shamrock Performance Horses and how it came to be, and maybe a little bit about the horses that helped form the program.
Okay, well, my husband and I, we grew up with horses, and so we've always been dabbling in that. And when we got together, we were looking into getting a brand, and the Arbitrary brands were opened up in 2007, and a good friend of ours, Bruce Etherington, he's a brand inspector, he brought us his brand book and said, you know, like, they don't always have these Arbitrary brands opened up, but you guys are welcome to look through, because they, you know, you could sure pick one if you wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
And we got looking through and seeing that Shamrock, and being that I'm a Garrity, that's my maiden name, and the Shamrock is a sign of good faith and good luck, which is both something that we need to have on the journey in the horse business. So and it's a stylish brand, you know. Mm-hmm. It looks good on a horse,
so
very
good.
Recognizable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we had that since 2007.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, and we actually started not actually planning to be breeders. We started young horses. We bought and sold, bought out of different people's programs and trained and showed them. We started dabbling in the breeding business because of an unfortunate injury to a well-bred 2-year-old stud colt that we had intended to be a gelding. And along with him, and then a mare that we come across that was closely related to a great gelding that I lost in college, we started just breeding horses. Not a lot of horses, but a few, just dabbling in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of breeding programs start this way. You know, we love our horses, and we find the traits and the bloodlines that we like and we want to see more of. And sometimes what you think is an unfortunate circumstance at the time turns out to be, you know, your life path and the direction that God has intended for you. So that's how we got breeding horses. What you think is an unfortunate event.
So, yeah.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason, for sure.
You bet.
So you being in the business and not intentionally getting into it, what's one piece of advice you'd give someone just starting to get into the breeding industry? And I'm looking at Stevie right now because she is. So with someone as successful as you, like, yeah, what's one tip of advice?
Well, I'm pretty sure she knows it. It's mare power.
Yeah, she knows it for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
You betcha. We started... we never really started getting really serious into it until we got those four own daughters adopted Nick Bar. You know, we dabbled in, like, we were doing a little more cow horse bloodlines and, mm-hmm. you know, family horse rope horses that can still run barrels, maybe not be your top competitive barrel horses, but, we were, you know, aiming for that. And so we tracked down these Nick Bar mares and, just had to get more of them after I rode a few of them and won a bunch. Just wanted to get more. So, that definitely was the foundation of us going, you know, serious in it was getting those good mares. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of good mares, Raise the Gold Bar. This is a mare that you hold numerous arena records with. Can you tell us the story about her and how she came in your life and maybe a little bit about your guys' journey to the top together?
You betcha. So Allie, everyone knows she's amazing. We are beyond blessed to have her come into our lives. I had two own daughters of Dr. Nick Bar at the time, and I was on the hunt for more. And I knew of Sweet Sweet Bar, which is Allie's dam, when we picked up She's a Slick Nick out of Iowa from Chris and Denise Borglum. And Allie was just a yearling at the time, and I looked past her. But I was there to pick up that four-year-old She's a Slick Nick, daughter of Dr. Nick Bar, ready to go for charity. And but I spotted the Sweet Sweet Bar mare, she was older, and I sure wanted her, but Denise wasn't quite ready to let her go. Yeah. So when she called me back about a year later to let me know that she was ready to sell her, we basically just jumped in the truck to go get her and down to Iowa.
Yeah.
And she mentioned she had a two-year-old unstarted filly by La Jolla's Gold and out of Sweet Sweet Bar. And I figured, you know, what better way to start promoting the mare than to start with one of her two-year-olds right away.
Yeah.
So we just bought her sight unseen. And, well, I guess I seen her as a yearling, but like I said, I didn't even really look at her, you know.
Yeah.
She was a big two-year-old, biggest horse we've ever owned. She still towers over everyone out there.
How big is she?
She's 16 hands.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And stout, you know, she's a big mare. Mm-hmm. Gentle giant. I started her myself. She never bucked. She was sweet, you know. I had recently learned a lot from a friend, an NFR qualifier, Leanne Rust. And Allie was my first colt that got to get those techniques right from the start.
Oh, cool.
So she's kind of was like my protege.
Yeah.
with the new, you know, the newfound information that I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, we all have high hopes for our horses. And yes, I thought she was special, but I never imagined that she was going to actually go and do what she did for our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aww. Seems like all my horses are late getting to the shows with how busy life is with the young family. And mm-hmm. Allie's first jackpot that we entered was a standard pattern outdoor at Mattinson's, and she placed third with an 18.6.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
And went, and you know, we were just loping through, went back a couple weeks later and she was an 18.2, you know, just trying to lope through again.
Yeah.
And this was in June of her five-year-old year. So, you know, after getting some encouragement from my peers, we late entered Bonnet's Barrel Barn for charity and went there and won it.
Oh, cool.
That was our first charity, and she just, you know, and it was just an upwards climb from there. Everywhere we went, we just both got better and faster and more confident. She's a you know, because she's a big running horse, she doesn't have to try very hard to clock. So I never did push her in her futurity year. She, I just focused on the clean, smooth runs and, and that's what clocked, right? Mm-hmm. By the end of her futurity year, she ran a couple 17.3s and won the third in the aggregate at the CBHI to finish off the year.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was a godsend, no doubt. Mm-hmm. We didn't compete her at all in her six-year-old year. She got a bad wire cut. So I just, you know, by the time it healed up, I'm like, to get you back into shape, you may as well just hang low kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we came back in 2015 and was outstanding. She won everywhere she went. She was just great. And then by the end of the year, that was same thing, go back to the CBHI at Pinoca, and she won the Derby and the Open and set the arena record. That still stands so cool. Today.
Yeah.
And what time was that?
That was a 16.824.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is fast.
That would be exciting.
It was, I mean, we just felt like we were flying. It was the most exciting run.
Yeah. No doubt. That's cool. I know I'm wondering this, but I'm like, what can you give us, like, maybe like a tip or two that you got from her to like apply to Allie?
Yeah, some of those secrets.
Yeah.
Share us.
Yeah, you know what? I love riding with people and telling them how I do what we've done or how I built Allie to do what she does. I think great horses are great horses. Mm-hmm. And they're born great. And, you know, they just have to have the right opportunities. And she was, you know, we just had to mold and make sure that we had everything just prepared on a silver platter for her. You know, she could have been, you know, she could have gone the other direction in a hurry, being as high running bred as she was. Mm-hmm. And you got to really just contain that and make sure that you're keeping your woe, keeping them listening to your body. You don't want to go in there and have to worry about touching on their faces to woe. They need to do that with their body, mm-hmm. from your body, mm-hmm. you know, to gather for the turns and let them kind of build that speed as they feel confident to do it. And like I said, I never pushed her in her futurity year, because she just kind of was getting faster and faster as she got going. And I wasn't going to go and push her past that point and have things fall apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just kind of built it up. And I mean, all horses are going to be a little bit different and you might have to encourage them a little bit more, but I knew that the speed and the run was there. It was just a matter of making sure that she was going to stay gathered for the turns and not go by a barrel. And I mean, Miss Mare does not go by barrels.
Yeah,
that's really
good. So it's pretty neat.
And how old is she right now?
She's 11 this year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many, like, things Steph sent us from your runs, and like she was so literally she was so fangirling you over like our group chat.
Oh, since forever.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we were there when you set the arena record, me and Steve.
Like I watched that video and it brings tears to my eyes every time. I can't watch it without crying. Just listening to the cheer of the crowd, you know, and just how I knew it was there, you know, I knew that we could do it. And it was just like, just a matter of when it was going to happen. It was going to happen.
You made her tear up.
Once I start getting teary, I'm like,
oh dear.
Oh, you just love barrel racing so much.
I just love barrel racing.
Yeah.
Horses. Yeah.
Did you cry when you did that? Oh, there's a tear coming down your cheek. I can't even right now. You're a loser. Did you tear up and cry when you?
Yeah, I walked her back up that alleyway. I was the very last person to run because I was leading the short go, and they run the Derby first, and then the futurity. The futurity, and then the Derby, And so I was the very last person to run in that arena over the whole CBHI weekend. I walked up that alleyway and you betcha I cried.
Oh, man. Yeah, it sounds like that was a pretty sweet time.
Yeah, definitely.
Good memories.
Yeah.
So going back to Shamrock Performance Horses, is it safe to say you've always got a couple prospects on the go at the ranch? And do you have any favorites right now that you're excited about?
Oh, yeah. Our pens are plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah. We fortunately sold quite a few this past year to some great homes, which opens up some more time for us for our young ones.
Yeah.
It was a good year for selling horses in the COVID year, which is, you know, there's just a lot of people who wanted to, you know, be busy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
to do.
I don't feel like the horse industry really hurt in that aspect of things. Mm-hmm. It was probably one of our best years.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that it's gone up, like the...
And like the Skidoo sale places in town and the side-by-sides everything, too. They're just sold out, all the recreational, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, it's exactly. Crazy.
Which is surprising, though, because it is all expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that stuff's not cheap.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Side-by-sides.
And no doubt.
I guess people are going on less holidays, so they have more money to spend on toys.
True. Yeah,
but they were also looking for the basically, we sold out of all of our kids' horses.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So not the young prospects and the, you know, performance horses as much as the ones that were just like good, solid, ready to go for anyone.
Yeah.
You know, just, we did sell some that were higher performance ones too, but if I would have had, you know, 20 more of them kids' horses, they'd have been gone.
They'd have been gone, yeah.
Those horses are priceless, though.
I'll be in the market soon for one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think Joe's going to be a kid's horse?
I mean, I think she kind of maybe could, but not in the barrel pen.
No.
No.
So your kids, do they help out bringing along these horses as well, hey?
Yeah, you betcha. Jaden loves to rodeo. She got a sniff of it last fall at the high school rodeo circuit, and she wants to keep doing that. She's definitely got the itch on to do it. She's great with young horses. She's always been great with young horses. We started her on, started her riding young horses when she was just 3, 4, 5 years old, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So she really has a good handle and knows how to read them and that kind of thing. She puts a lot more effort into it, I think you would say, than Rowdy does. So he shows the interest and he loves to ride and rope, but it's only for so long, and then he's kind of got to get going, look after his chickens and his birds and go hunting with his dog.
Aww. So, oh, nice.
He has other hobbies too.
Yeah. You betcha. Yeah.
It sounds like the whole family kind of has their hand in horses.
Yeah. He's always selling his rope horses just as they get finished, so he doesn't get a lot of opportunity to show them.
Yeah.
We keep saying soon, you know, soon we'll keep one for you to rope.
Yeah.
But he does have his hands full with training and farrier work and just keep everything going here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you guys do everything at the ranch. So what do the different seasonal operations look like for you?
Well, we really could just never leave here. With as much work as there is to do.
Yeah.
Never ending.
You know, with the time that the young horses require and the overall care and farm maintenance, we're busy.
Mm-hmm. So, I'd imagine.
I don't know. I think we like it that way because we just seem to be adding more and more to our plate all the time. So it's good to be busy.
Yeah.
And well, I've been blessed to spend that time down south in the winters, which has helped a lot progress our program and getting some of our horses to some great homes in Texas. And but I mean, we all know the struggles of being an equine enthusiast in Canada. Canadian winters seems like Dewberry is always the last place for the snow to melt. So
oh really,
same with up here. Oh my god.
Oh,
you like don't even want trees in your yard. If you like, we're like looking at houses and we're like, oh, this place has trees, like gonna take for, I can't put an arena up there because it's gonna take forever to dry.
Okay, wait, I wasn't done hearing about the horses. Is there some favorite prospects like that you're going to show coming up?
Everyone has their own favorites here. There's lots to choose from. My most noted excitement comes from 3 4-year-olds, and they're all by our Vegas stud, BSF Northern Boone. He's cowbred. Okay. And then they're all out of our daughter's adoctinic bar. And they're all super staked. Sweet. And they're definitely my most exciting pen of 4-year-olds I've had. Their dams were all very dear to us. And they're colt. These colts are awesome. I can't wait to show them.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be exciting to see them at the even your guys' fraternity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You betcha.
Yeah.
So will you be running them all, or will your daughter or anyone else be running them?
Well, you know, I've had a little bit of interest in them, so I'll have to see if I still have them by then. But if they're here, I'll be running them.
Yeah.
Cool. So are they started right now? What's the mind like on them?
They're two of them are just like their mothers. Well, like basically little carbon copies of their moms. And I got the opportunity to run both of those moms. And, so it's pretty neat to be able to have that again at this young age and getting to play with that.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're good with the cows and, you know, we're doing a little bit of roping off them. The kids can ride them, but just the talent in their footwork is what really stands apart. And, you know, when they can handle themselves and be as agile as they make those moves, everything else is theirs.
So whereabouts are your 4-year-olds at in their training right now?
They haven't been patterned. They're just getting rode. Yeah.
Okay.
Just getting miles, just getting, we like to make sure that they're really, really well broke and really feeling, you know,
nice foundation.
Like I really ride with my body. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to feel what I'm doing and react with that.
Yeah.
So that's what I focus on with them. And, you know, come spring here, once things thaw up, then we'll be ready to start showing them the pattern. And it doesn't take them long from there.
Yeah.
When you got a really broke, well-broke individual, it doesn't take long.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Awesome. So can we get a little more into your breeding program? And maybe can you tell us a little bit about your mare power and the stallion power you have today?
You betcha. So we definitely have a nice collection of recent mares. Our broodmare band only consists of 4 currently that are carrying their own babies.
Okay.
Yep. The 3 Nick Bar mares are seniors, so we do plan to, you know, try to keep them open and just pull embryos on them in the coming years and just get as many colts as we can out of them before they decide to quit being fertile.
Yeah.
So we did just recently acquire a beautiful mare from Leon Rust. Her name's Isa.
That's a pretty name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she calls her Isa Champ. That's what she registered her as.
Cool.
Yeah. So she is a full sister to Leanne's great horse, Harley. I'm not sure if y'all know him, but he helped her attain Rookie of the Year in 2011.
Oh, nice.
And they were NFR qualifiers in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Isa is she's a solid bay, APHA.
Okay.
By Leanne's great paint horse stud, Scenic Symbol, and out of an own daughter, Streaking Six.
Sweet.
That's cool.
So, yeah, we're pretty excited to start making babies with her and have the continued guidance of our dear friend Leanne. I guess I'll say, too, of course, we'll be pulling as many embryos as we can off of Raise the Gold Bar.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be just keeping her in shape so we can keep going to as many big shows as we can, but try to get some babies out of her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so exciting.
So you said you have one that's 25. How, how old can they be, or have you had them and still been able to breed them?
This is the oldest mare I've ever had. So I just feel like if we get anything, we're blessed to have it. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't owe us anything. We've had so many great colts off of her. And I sure hope that we can get some more babies off of her.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I had one more question.
What's your question?
Oh, I was going to say, do you have any tips and tricks to keep them healthy longer so you can keep breeding them? Like, do you get their teeth regularly floated or any kind of
teeth? Definitely, teeth are important. Mineral, having good mineral available.
What do you use for mineral?
Tell us.
So I just got onto some new stuff this year, and I'm shipping it all the way from Manitoba.
Oh wow!
And it's through the Technivet company.
Okay.
A good friend of mine, Michelle Wilson, told me about it, and they also have the Galazyme product. So okay. It's instead of feeding your horses a whole bunch of extra supplements and stuff, it's basically you're just giving them good mineral and a tablespoon of good stuff for their stomach. Nice. You know, so it's I really do like that product. It's, you know, it can be pricey when you're feeding as many horses as I am, but good mineral. And for these brood mares, I like to feed them far from the yard, so they have to walk out to feed and walk back for water.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, making sure they're keeping in shape.
Mm-hmm. Not stove enough.
It helps with their foaling. I think a big problem is when you have the mare owners that don't have the room for their mares to roam, to keep that condition. And if they're just standing in a little pen all winter or a stall, you know, it's just, you might have more complications because of that.
Yeah.
You know?
I was going to say, like, a mare that I got recently, I had her in a little pen for a bit just to kind of get her used to the place and used to the horses before I let her out in the big field. And she kind of got sore and lame and stuff. And so there was nothing obvious. And so, I let her out into the big, the big pasture. And yeah, just that being able to walk back and forth to the water and out to the hay and not just be like in a little pen at the bale. She's doing way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a big difference. Just keeping the blood flowing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it kind of just gets. Yeah.
They're like, the food's here, the water's here, I don't need to go anywhere.
And they don't. And they'll just stand there all day. Yeah. Whereas this way, you know, when they come up for water, they'll come up into the in the shelters and hang out there for a little while before they go back out. And that way they're definitely, I think it's helped us in the long run of having healthy bears and healthy colts.
Yeah.
And safe, you know, good birthing episodes. So...
Mm-hmm. So what about the stallion power currently going on at the farm?
Well, we did just this fall. Okay. And I've always been
It
cut out a bit there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We did just acquire a new stallion this fall. His name's Down to Drift. I've always been on the hunt for the right side colt prospect to cross back on these Nick Barr mares. And they're not easy to come by, especially being the age that this guy is and out of such a well-proven mare.
Yeah.
We were definitely excited to find that cross and then have a pretty buckskin to add to our red ranch over here.
Yeah.
He's
so, like a dark colored, like a darker buckskin, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they call it smoky black.
Oh, okay, cool.
Black buckskin, yeah. Very pretty.
How old is he?
He just turned 3.
Just turned 3. Cool.
Nice.
So we're hoping that with how he's come on, like we started him here this winter, and he just is so trainable and retains everything and is ready for the next step like now. So I do feel fairly optimistic that I'm going to be able to security him as a 4-year-old. I'm hoping to do that.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he'll definitely be busy this spring. We're going to use him for the majority of our breeding.
Okay.
And we like having, you know, the stallion standing here to be able to do it. It's just so much easier when you're doing it all yourself rather than worrying about shipping semen and all that jazz. So
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I think I was scrolling on your guys' Facebook page and I seen a video of you riding him around. Maybe even in a halter, and you had said he was not under saddle for very long, and he looked just calm and floaty and beautiful.
Yeah, I have to look at that video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's super light on his feet. you know, which is something that can be tricky to find in a stallion. And so trainable. Like, you show him something and he wants to go and do it. And, but then when I'm out there in the fields, I can just, you know, put my hand down and he'll walk. Yeah. He doesn't get prancy. He doesn't spook at anything. He's just like, he's just this total big ball of confidence.
Yeah.
Gentleman.
Yeah.
Yes. And a gentleman.
I feel like now with the amount of horses that I rode, having a confident horse is like a huge thing. Like, that's going to take it you is. So far ahead and so much faster when you have a horse that's naturally confident. So that's really cool to hear that he is.
And takes things in stride.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want that cool confidence in a horse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we throw them at them, all the things that we throw at them, going to these different shows and putting them in new barns and horses everywhere. And, you know, like, there's, they need to have that, and that's something you can't train into them. You can't do that. They just have to have it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So have you ran quite a few studs? And if so, like, what are some things that you make sure that you take care of while you're hauling them, especially at those big shows?
Well, we haven't shown them. I haven't shown any barrel horse stallions. Definitely have done some hauling with them. And they're not something that you want to just walk away from, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard, like, especially coming out of breeding season to go hit the trail with one.
I could imagine.
This guy here, he knows he's a stud. And we're going to, you know, and he hasn't bred any mares yet. So
it'll
be interesting to see how that all goes through. And like right now we have him in a pen with a 23-year-old gelding that is his pen mate, because I know that guy won't want to play around too much. If you put him in with a young colt or a gelding, they get playing and they get too rough, and I sure don't want no nicks and dings. No. Like a shiny new car, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta look after this
thing. He definitely is a shiny new car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if there's trouble, they're gonna find it.
Yeah.
So are you guys doing any live cover, or what other technologies do you use, and how much of it do you do yourselves?
So we used to do only live cover with our old stud BSF Northern Boone.
Okay.
But now we're just AIing. We decided to go on a huge endeavor, which has totally changed our lives and the breeding business. Okay. We went to Texas and learned how to manage our own animals ourselves. So we learned how to AI, deform insemination, training studs for the phantom, processing semen, cooling for shipping, freezing semen, scanning mares, uterine fleshing, embryo transfer. We're doing it all. And we're so grateful to have been able to go and learn that. It was a big undertaking to do it, but, and, you know, to get set up, right? Yeah. To have the lab and be able to do that. But
an investment.
There's so worth no it other way end, to do though, it.
Yeah.
How long did you guys have to go to school for to get educated and all those things?
So really not very long. There was only about 3 days of actual classroom work.
Really?
But we now did this 2 years ago. So our first year, you know, was a little bit, you know, we got all of our mares settled, but I wasn't able to do any embryo. I never did get any, but I got, you know, my young studs collected, processed the semen, and got everybody settled. But until this past spring, everything really came together. Like, after having your, you know, you get your hands into it enough, and ask the questions, and I've got a great instructor. I can call him anytime, and he can help me out with any questions I have. And I mean, you're gonna have them, because every mare is different, and you know, all the situations that come about with it, right? So it really was like a learn to do by doing.
Yeah.
But we had some great training down there to give us the confidence to do it.
Yeah.
To try to do it. So.
Yeah. And perfect to have that resource there always when you're in season or if you have anything come up.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool though. Like, We got to spend a day with Ashley Lacey at her ranch, and we got to watch and see what she did. And it is like an insane process. And like, she has it down to a science, like sperm counts, like everything. I'm just like, whoa, like this is, this is more than what Mother Nature does.
We collected and did the whole,
I couldn't look at him in the eye after we watched him do that. I was like,
yeah, Ashley and I converse a lot.
Oh yeah.
We call each other and we bat ideas back and forth, or show each other some crazy things that we found and different situations, because you come across them. And, it's when you like, but like when I'm in breeding season, I can't do anything else. Yeah. Like my mind is completely, and Ashley would probably say the same thing, you know, like that is all you do and it's all you think about, and you're just,
it's a big job.
Oh yeah,
it is a big job.
Like she tells us,
and then you don't have to have a lot of horses for it to be a big job.
No, and your timing has to be perfect. Like she was telling us that she has to wake up at 4 a.m. and like go and like get that semen and take it to the airport. It's so timed.
She's got a lot more on her plate than I do, because I haven't been sipping semen like she has. But she, you know, and that's definitely, that's a, that's a busy, busy job. Like she needs to have more than one person on, more than one hand or two hands on deck there.
Yeah.
I think her little daughters help her quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's really
my
cool.
My family, you know, same thing here. Tyler and Jaden and Rowdy, they're all into it. Rowdy, he just can't wait. Like, I mean, when we got Drifter home, he's like, I can't wait to collect that stud.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so what is this program that you took, that you went for it in Texas?
Yeah, Stevie's like rubbing her palms together.
And it's like, the same place that Ashley, is it the same place she went?
I think it's the best. No, Ashley went somewhere else.
Okay.
But I do very much reference to the breeder's assistant. So David Riddle is the instructor there, and they have a beautiful lab and have everything there. And he's very, very easy to talk to. And there's lots of people that, like, you'd be surprised how many people from even up here have gone down and learned from him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's got a world map on his wall that has the little, you know, you get to put your pinprick on there.
Oh, and,
and everybody, you can see from all over the world, the people who have come to his course.
That's cool.
And during breeding season, he basically lives on his phone. He's waiting for his students to call. And if he doesn't get back to right away, he will. So
nice.
He's definitely a fantastic resource. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
The breeder's assistant. Is that?
The breeder's assistant.
Mm-hmm. So with like all your training and everything, what was one of the hardest things that you've done when you were first getting into it?
Ultrasounding.
Yeah. It'd be hard because, like, even Ashley was, like, trying to, like, do you see that? And I was just like, oh, yeah, for sure, I see that. But I had no clue what I was looking at.
Well, it's really hard to ultrasound a mare that's not in heat, because you can't see anything. But, you know, as you get, you know, get to watch, start developing the skills to know what you're looking at. But it just takes practice. There's just no way about it. You can't go in there and say, I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you gotta pull those recent mares in and start working on them and get confident and you know, find those ovaries, measure those follicles.
Yeah.
5 boxes of gloves later and your arm is so sore and you got poop all over you.
I was gonna say, like, Ashley was like talking to us. She's like, "What do you want for lunch?" And she was like scooping like poop out of like this horse.
Nadine's just like, "What?"
And I'm like, "Hey, like horse poop, like I'm fine. Like I fall in it, like whatever. It's not a big deal." But to see like an undone turd coming out of a horse, I was just like, "I'm actually gonna puke." Like I did not feel good.
And when I worked at the vet clinic and we would be testing bulls, I would have snacks in my pocket, like. I'd be snacking while we were doing this.
I remember the first time I saw a bull get semen tested, like I had no clue what was going on. And that's like literally I told Cole, I was like, I am so sorry for that bull. Like that was what a tease. Like, and that bull looked so sad after. He was just like, wow, everyone watched me do that. And he was just felt really bad about himself. And I thinking a little pat on the head and said, it's okay, buddy.
Oh, man. I don't think they're thinking about that. Oh.
Yeah, the biggest thing with ultrasounding too, like when you actually get into it and you're ready to, it's a matter of figuring out when to put the semen in.
Yeah, no because kidding.
You, it's all on timing. You know, you don't want to overload that Mary's uterus with too much semen, so you don't want to have to do it more than once.
Yeah.
You know, because what can happen is they can develop fluid, you know, like the inflammatory response to the semen, and then you're dealing with more problems than you can handle once you start dealing with that. And then you're, you know, you have to do the flushes to get them clean and the oxy protocol. And cause you have to have the zero fluid in there by the time that they, you know, their cervix closes up.
So,
there's definitely a lot to it, but I mean, when you think about Ashley and myself, we almost like live for it. It's like this part of us that we had no idea how much we love it and want to do that. So you just learn as much as you can and do as best as you can. So
yeah, that's awesome
about it. Yeah,
no, it's really cool what you guys are bringing to the Canadian barrel horse industry and like all that work you guys are putting into it and what it's it's like putting Canada on the map with like Bloodlines and then now with your Futurity, like. It's so cool that that you guys are doing that because really like you're upping where Canada is. So we really appreciate what you guys are doing and
spending
your life just making our horses that much faster.
Yeah, we're working on it.
You're making the competition harder.
Makes and us it's work great harder.
To see. Yeah. Like I got a call from a breeder tonight. That was just telling me how grateful she was that we are doing this. And she said, you know, as the breeder, we put so much, we put our neck on the lines and we have these expenses that, you know, like, and we might not get a baby or, you know, whatever it might be. So, and it's all on us. We have all the risk. And now it's, she's like, she said she's got a great pen of mares that she's been breeding for so long and she's got, you know, a lot of clients have those horses. She said, every one of them, they're going to be there, Helen. They're going to be there this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. All,
they're going.
Yeah. Oh, how exciting for her.
Super excited.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
because she has never had a stallion herself?
No, she doesn't own a stallion.
Okay. So yeah.
She just breeds her great mares to some old-sized stallions. And
now she has the opportunity.
Now she has the opportunity to actually take part of a program as a breeder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Very cool. I like how there's so many avenues to get in on that.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, your guys' Facebook page, like, blew up. And, like, I'm seeing so many stallions added to their roster. Yeah. So you guys are killing it. And everyone's just soaking it up. So that's really cool.
It is. It's really good. I do find that there's a lot of people, there still is a lot of people out there that don't really understand the program. And it's been difficult to try to get a hold of everybody to make sure, you know, to explain it to them. And I mean, we've done the best explaining that we can on our website and through our Facebook and stuff. But
podcast.
It's like until you actually talk to someone, it's like you can't ring the bells.
No. Yeah.
You know, to say like, this is the best program you're ever going to be a part of right here, right now. Mm-hmm. If you breed horses, this program is for you.
Yeah.
If you want to promote a stallion, this program is for you.
So speaking of the breeding and brood mares, coming into the breeding season, what are some things that you're doing to make sure that your brood mare band is specifically ready to breed?
So just, you know, like I said earlier, the good hay, good mineral and water. I keep it pretty simple around here. You know, feeding them far away from the water, so they have to make those miles back and forth and keep in shape. When they get close to that foaling, though, when they're really heavy and you don't really want to walk that far, I'll feed them closer to the water at that point, but I'm also watching them. So I need them kind of closer up to be able to keep an eye on them. And then when they get to be close enough, I like to put them in their own pen.
Yeah.
Just so I can have night lights on them and keep a better eye on them over the night. And I try my best not to miss it. I'm probably seen 75% of my foals being born.
Oh, cool.
And could tell you the story on all of them.
Aww.
So.
So I have a question, and it might be a dumb question, so we can cut this out of the podcast if it's too dumb. But
no questions, a dumb question, Nadine.
Oh, I have a lot of dumb questions. But so with cattle, like, you don't want to grain them like too close, like when they're going to be calving out, because then the calf will be too big. And we like ran into that problem before when we were calving out for some guy that was really stupid, but that's another story. But so with mares and horses, because I don't know much about like breeding, do you want to still like continue to grain them up to when they're going to be having a like having their foal, or will that be too big and cause like complications similar to what would happen if it was like a cow?
I don't think you'd see the same type of complications with with oats. You know, giving them that grain, what that's going to do for them, like what oats are, is glycogen for their muscles. That's how horses metabolize it. It's so when you think about the energy that it takes to walk or the energy that it takes to eat, they're using up that glycogen in their body, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you still want to make sure you're giving them that so that they have the energy to be able to be strong for the birth.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think that I've never worried about overgraining them, but mind you, I don't do a lot of grain. So sometimes I feel like they need it, and that's just kind of, I just go with my gut on that. But I don't generally like overload my horses with a lot of grain. So
yeah. Oh, that was a good answer, because I thought you guys were gonna be like, what kind of question is that?
That's a good one.
So now I have another one, and I'm just gonna keep talking until I remember what it was. Oh yeah, okay. So you said that you had like your 75 births and you remember every single one of them. So there's obviously like not every single birth has been perfect. So for someone that's like just getting into it, or like just learning, what are some common complications that can happen when a mare is giving birth?
Okay. So one thing would be to make sure that they don't have any like stallions or geldings across the fence, because that's one that like the mares get really protective, and they might push their colt into a crap, you know, a not good situation to get away from it.
Yeah.
So you do want to make sure that they are secluded.
Mm-hmm.
I think like as long as that baby comes out and you know the sack is off the nose, to make sure you just stand back and let things happen on its own.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
Okay, don't naturally. Yeah. Just let it happen. Stay back and don't stress your mare out that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been times where I'm like, okay, well, it hasn't sucked yet. You know, like, should I get in there and start helping it? And really, she would have done it just on her own just fine had I not got there.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, a lot of the times we almost put too much into it when we don't really need to.
Yeah.
Just stand back and let it happen. You know, keep an eye on your clock and know when those critical times are, you know, for them to pass their placenta, to pass the meconium, for them to be nursing, for them to be on their feet. Mm-hmm. Like all those have specific times that they should have those done. So, you know, watch from a distance. That's another reason why I like to have them, you know, separated into their own pen.
Mm-hmm.
And so no other mares can come in and bug them too, because I find that happens. You know, you have the first baby born and everyone's like, oh, well, that's my baby that I've been waiting for, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
So this is also another random question off the top of my head. So I know this one lady, and she actually was like just petting a foal. And I don't know her personally, I just like know her story. And she was petting a foal, and the mare was like just like standing around. And then after like a little while, the mare like bit her nose off, like the lady's nose off. And it's just like, is there something that you can see?
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, I can't believe that. But So.
Well, Leanne Russ just told me a story about that type of situation. So she had this mare, it was a maiden mare, and when she foaled, she looked at it and just was like, ooh, what are you? And then just walked away.
Yeah.
Totally left her colt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they had to go out and get the mare and colt and put it in the barn. And the mare was just like not understanding what this thing was. Yeah. So she's like, whatever, we'll just leave them in the barn. We're going to walk away and we'll go have coffee and come back and check on them. So when she come back, she said that mare was about to like reach over the fence on them, like through the stall panels to take their heads off. You know, she was like, get away from my baby. But it's like this, the hormonal changes that you don't know how they're going to react. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I guess if you're dealing with a mating mare, you really got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it's just hormone changes that they don't have any control over, just like us women.
Yeah,
no,
I was going to say, like, I understand. I have my hand up fully.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well, actually, I lied. There's, like, one more question that I have. And this is going to be, like, when you talked about, like, maybe the mother and, like, not accepting the foal, so you have an orphan foal. Have you ever dealt with that before? And if so, like, I know it can be super dangerous to, like, over-baby them and to, like, make it so that they don't see you as like a dominant, like they can like overrun you and they're like, oh, you're like, oh, it's mm-hmm. fine, they're so cute and little, but it actually creates a disaster when they get older. So what are some tips if you've dealt with that before?
Well, no, I haven't. You know, I've been fortunate enough to not have dealt with that.
Yeah.
That's a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
thank God.
Yeah, you know what Leanne would tell you, she's a horsewoman from way back, and the history she has from raising colts and dealing with that is it's so valuable to me, because I just like I eat it up whenever she mm-hmm. tells me anything. Mm-hmm. She would say, you know, on a colt to go and do that imprinting right off the start,
mm-hmm.
and you know, rub on everything and bring the clippers around and let them hear the clippers and do all that stuff. And then she doesn't touch them again.
Yeah.
Until it's time to basically wean. You know, if she goes out to the pasture to say hello to everybody, they might come up and she'll scratch on them, but she doesn't do anything. Like she'll do the, I guess right when they're first born, she'll do the imprinting and the halter, putting them in a halter and playing around with that. And then she doesn't do anything. So
yeah,
that's important.
Yeah, and then she says, too, like, you know, she is the alpha female. Like, it's mm-hmm. she's going to be the boss of everything, and she's hard at it. Mm-hmm. If that colt needs to be pushed back, it's likely going to be a big kick, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. you're gonna be that alpha. And mm-hmm. you just have to put them in their place, move their feet, and they understand that. That's what they understand, right?
Yeah.
You have to talk to them like horses talk to horses.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you think about it that way, then, you know, Tyler always says, move their feet, right?
Yes.
So if you make them move their feet, that's how they do it in the herd.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's true.
Yeah, not ever let them get too spoiled, because it can be hard for them to come back out of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it can be very dangerous, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have one that I kind of spoiled a little too much. I think she had like a hawk infection when she was young, so we had to like treat her every day for 2 weeks. And now Barbie, she's just like, she's a very nice horse to ride, and she's nice, but on the ground, she's just like a little pushy and just a little in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably just did not discipline her hard enough to like stay out.
And it's
of
not
my
to
bubble.
Say that you can't work on that either, even at this point, you know, it's like
it's workable.
You can still,
mm-hmm. oh yeah,
you can definitely. Still find that order, yeah. right? You just have to be really strong about it and like a not giving up type thing, and not let them get away with an inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go do the imprinting right when they're born, how soon after do you do that when they're born?
So I haven't done a lot of that,
okay.
you know, myself. Leanne's telling me that I should be doing that, mm-hmm. and I always get a little bit nervous to, mm-hmm. to get in the way. I want to make sure that baby and the mom get really mothered up, you know, like really well. And she says, yeah, let them do that. But then, you know, once you know you got a baby that's good and nursing good and strong, you go in there and you lay down with them, you hold them down and you rub them down and just do that. It would just be the one day of for, you know, hour or 2 hours or whatever it is that you spend with them, bring in a plastic bag and crackling on them, or, you know, like your clippers, you'll put the all around them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, and then just rubbing their feet and picking their feet up and, and all that kind of stuff, just so that they really just get all that. And then you get them on a halter and you lead them around with their mom and they figure that out a little bit and then you're done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
that's cool. Well, thank you for answering all my really random questions that popped into my head.
Oh, those are awesome questions.
Thanks.
All of those questions.
I don't know if you guys, if you guys seen the video that we had on our Facebook page of Jaden with one of our weanlings this year.
I probably did.
It's this one. It's a video of just Jaden and this filly, and she shows it. She picks up all four of its feet, and then she bends its nose around to its butt both ways, and then she goes and starts trotting the circle, like leading her, and the colt follows, and Jaden's running, and the colt's loping with her.
Aww,
and then when Jaden stops, the colt stops.
Yeah.
So, like, we don't normally have a lot of time to spend on our babies, but with, you know, we just had these two this year, and we're having them in and out of the barn all the time because you're doing the business with their moms and and ultrasounding all the time and checking them and that jazz. So those babies got quite a bit of handling this year.
Yeah.
And they're pretty darn halter broke, and
that's cool.
You think you can kick them out and bring them back in and not have an issue, you know?
Yeah.
Once they have that, it's just like that. They're just that much older, that much wiser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they take that information and go from there, right?
Yes.
They don't usually go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool.
So when are your first foals coming?
Well, I think we're expecting them in the middle of April.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice time.
So hopefully no sooner than that. Mm-hmm. It is usually, you know, like we usually get them kind of right at the end of April, beginning of May, but these April babies.
Mm-hmm.
This year might be a little bit earlier April babies, but it's not usually super nice weather that time of the year, and we don't have a barn that's adequate for having mares to foal in.
Inside.
So we do, everyone always foals outside. We just have to make sure they have good wind shelter and lots of straw, you know, that kind of thing. I've never blanketed a colt. And we've never had, you know, knock on wood, any problems with health issues that way. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how cold do you think, like, it has been on the colder years when you guys have foaled out?
Because it can still be cold in April and, like, windy
even
cold.
The end of April, May.
Yeah. Like, I know Mary Bell, she foaled in a snowstorm once. And even at that, it wasn't a problem, you know?
Yeah.
That's good. Because, you want to protect those ears.
How cold
ears,
is that? Like, it's probably really only minus 15 that time of the year, right?
Oh, that's colder than
Yeah.
Is it cold, minus 15, 10?
But I guess, if you've got
with
a
the wind.
Yeah, if you've got a nice shelter with lots of bedding, no wind, like that would help a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like it's something that stays for very long, and it kind of
it's getting warmer,
smartened up throughout the day, right? So you just have to, as long as they got good shelter at night and when the sun's not shining on them. But
yes,
yeah, I've got two due in the middle of April, and I've convinced Landon if it's too cold, he's going to let me put some stalls in the shop.
Oh,
and then you're foaling out in May.
Yeah, I am personally, but I don't think I'll be outside.
No? You're not going to do it outside in the yard?
No.
Another thing I should say too, like with as soon as a mare foals, and like I said, I stand back and wait for everything, that mare might not have... the foal might not have nursed yet, but I'll go out there, like when that mare gets up, and I'll bring her a pail of water.
Oh yeah,
I'll bring her a pail of water, and I'll give her a little bit of feed, just because they stay off water and feed for a while before they foal.
That's true,
and they don't tend to just go heading over to the water when after they're done. They kind of stick around with that colt, so if they're not near water, you know, they're not going to be getting anything. Mm-hmm. So I make sure I bring them that water and bring them that hay right off the start, mm-hmm. so she can kind of get re-energized a bit, more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was just one thing I just thought of.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Stevie will be wanting people to make sure they bring her food and water after she has a baby, too. So.
And during.
Yeah, and during.
Oh, are you high maintenance?
I'm a pack and snacks.
Yeah, so we can understand that.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
So with all these, like the fall is coming all the time and you guys always have like prospects. When do you find that you normally, you know, business wise, when do you normally like to sell them? Like, do you like to sell them as weanlings, or do you guys enjoy getting them going and finding them homes a little bit more started?
Well, we tend to not advertise our colts. So if we get a call of someone interested, we'll price them and, you know, they either go or they don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do like, you know, the past, when we started breeding, we didn't have a lot of aged horses. So we kind of were just like waiting for these young ones to grow up.
Yeah.
So we definitely were collecting for quite a few years to build up our herd. And I really wanted to show them myself. But with as many as we have coming up now, I don't mind selling a few.
Yeah.
Is it hard to pick which ones?
It's not up to me usually. If you got the person that comes that wants it and you just price it and
you know,
you have to price it accordingly.
Yeah.
The one that I want to keep is probably going to be a little more pricey.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great way to put it.
Makes
sense. Yes.
Do you guys have any more breeding questions at all? Stevie,
I think we've pretty much covered them all. Yeah.
I think we got pretty good into that. So just wrapping up this episode, I'm going to go back to you as a rider. So you have held arena records, you're killing it on your horses, and you're obviously super handy, but everyone has something that they need to work on. So what do you find that one thing is that you need to work on in your riding that you go into the practice pen and make sure is in your mind? We just have been asking everyone these questions just so that maybe your listeners can relate a little bit. So yeah, let us know what that is.
My nerves. You know, I think that the glimpse of doubt will always pass through my brain. And right before a run, it's like, are you kidding me? How can you just envision hitting a barrel right before you go up? So that's probably, you know, just to keep confidence through thick and thin. You know, not letting little things sway your thoughts and to keep that focused, right?
You know, it's really interesting to like, hear you say that because you have so many accomplishments, and to like, hear you say that you still struggle with nerves. Like, that makes me not feel as bad.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's always nice to hear.
Yeah. We are all struggling together.
But we hope that you're able to work on
those. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess a good thing, a good way to look at it too was, or is, getting out of your box and going, you know, taking it on. I mean, doesn't matter win or lose, you just got to go and play with the big dogs and go and run in those pens. And, you know, you might hit a barrel every time you run in there, and then the one day you don't, and it's like, you're there, you know, and you build that confidence from there. And you can, you know, when I went to the Fort Worth Stockyards, my first three or four runs, I tipped a barrel every run in there, and I ran like a 13.9, 13.8, 14.0, you know, something that was going to place big money at any one of those, any one of those runs shows that I was at. And I'm just like, how am I going to, like, I had to figure out how to get by my second barrel in that pen. And something that I did all the time was, or what I do all the time is I look at the ground that I want my horse feet to go on. So that's where I'm riding, that's where I'm looking, that's where we're going. But in the Fort Worth Stockyards, I had to look, well, I figured, okay, well, I got to look in the stands. I got to look, you know, up there. And that's how I'm going to get by this barrel. Well, okay, we darn near made it, still caught it coming out, and I almost fell off, still ran a 13-8, but, you know, and then I'm like, okay, so I have to look further than that. Leanne's like, you got to look at the stars that are beyond the building. That's where you got to look.
Oh, my.
So I had to do something, you know, like, and you just have to know that even though you figure your program that you have is has worked for so long, there's still going to be times that you're going to have to change it and you have to be able to adapt.
Yeah.
And that's where you, you know, that's where you really become is through adapting in all of different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have to go outside of that box to put yourself in those situations sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd never known until you got there, you know, had it felt stupid had I qualified for that thing and had my semifinals run, first run there, you know, not having even run in that pen yet or something, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got that pen down pat now.
That's, you got it.
Perfect.
I could do that.
Yeah.
So what are some of your, like, career highlights, and have you qualified for the American?
No, I tip a barrel every time.
Okay. Oh. That's right. And is that the barrel race that you were just talking about? For those
that was just a barrel race or the like they have rodeos every weekend there, and I was staying in Azle, which is only about 20 minutes from Fort Worth, so I was able to just drive down and hit the weekend rodeos at Fort Worth for a few weekends there. And so those were just barrel races and rodeos, but when I tried for the American qualifier, the first time was right after I broke the arena record in Pinoca in 2017. I went to one in Montana and I tipped a barrel there. But the day before, you know, like the open round that I had the day before, the time would have qualified me.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like, oh, what do you do so from here? Close. Okay, well,
yeah.
You go to the next one. Well, the next one's in Arizona. So, okay, let's go to Arizona. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you figure out everything to get there. And I tell you, man, I ran 17-0s in Buckeye, and I was, you know, place pulling checks every time I made a run there, and I tipped that barrel in the qualifier, and you just think, well, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Like,
you
know, so you're trying to figure that out, okay, well, that's fine. We'll finish off this year and try it again next year.
Mm-hmm. You're going to do it. You're going
to
do it.
And mm-hmm. So we went down to Texas last year, and I guess I didn't even really have the intent on doing the American at that time. I was just going and showing my horses. I had these young horses that I was selling, so I had to get them down there shown in Texas and to try to get them sold down there, and so that was kind of my intent. But we ended up going to the qualifier at Glen Rose, and again, you know, the open run would have qualified me. The qualifier run, I tipped a barrel, and then the next run, same thing, would have qualified me. I've got a little bit of a hex going on with tipping barrels at those darn things, but
you just have to get it out
saged. Eventually.
We'll get some sage. We'll come down there. We'll just sage you before your run. Get all that bad juju out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like right there though. Like you're going to do it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It feels that way, you know, every time I get to that point, and then it's just like, oh, it's not my time yet. That's okay. And you got to take it as mm-hmm. it comes. I mean, maybe we just weren't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we just weren't ready. So you got to not take those hard hits as so hard as you can't do it. You mm-hmm. know, it's just that there's steps that you got to take to get there.
Yes.
And you got to take them as they come and trust in the process.
Yeah, that's a big thing, is trust in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where can people find you on Facebook, Instagram, and if you have a website?
We don't have a website yet. We're working on probably doing that once we get this Breeders Elite under wraps here. But Facebook, we have just a Shamrock page, Shamrock Performance Horses, and then just myself, Helen Nellisat. I don't have an Instagram account, or I might have one, but I don't know how to use it. So I don't ever go
there. No worries. Well, we know a girl who's really good at social media. Shelby with Sweetgrass and Squirrel. She did our website and she gave us a bunch of tips, and she's been dying to have a stallion owner use her for that. So she is like so good. I think she has a sale.
She does like Instagram and social media posting and
I think she has a sale on right now, even for websites. I think it's 15% off. Don't quote me, but yeah, like she's awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that.
So thank you very much, Helen, for coming on the podcast, not only once, but twice. So it was great to visit with you both times. We're rooting for your Valentine's Day date this Sunday. We have high expectations and we hope to hear all about it.
And we really do appreciate all the valuable information coming into breeding and foaling season. That was awesome.
I know our little Stevie here. She's so excited. Yes.
So excited.
Yeah. You bet. Call me anytime with any questions on anything. I love to chat about it and share what I've learned and hear stories.
We probably actually will be calling you.
Literally. Yeah.
That's good.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on our show. We really enjoyed it. And thank you so much again for everything you're doing for the Canadian barrel racing industry.
Mm-hmm. So we will let you take us out of this podcast.
Get rich or ride Triumph.